It is time now for Campus Connection. That's a time when we get an update on the school board meeting that's happening tonight and on educational issues in general. I have several officials joining me from the school district here in the studio. We have Superintendent Erica Kluepainter and School Board Chairwoman Sarah Holmgren and Mara Latomsky as well. So hello, everyone. Let's check your mics out and see if we are working.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Great.
We're all working.
Good. So it's summertime, so the students are gone, but that doesn't mean the school board stops working. There's a meeting tonight, and on the agenda, you're going to be hearing about the budget for next year, but I was kind of wondering how much we actually know at this point because the state legislature is in special session. So
they are still in session. We still do not have final information from them. They've been sending a lot of information out about things to be aware of if they don't get a budget figured out and what that looks like as far as services that will be shut down or diminished even over the summer. Mainly for us in schools and for people in schools, it would affect people trying to do certification. They've requested people that are maybe coming due in the fall that they need to get that paperwork done as soon as they can because they'll have very, you know, they've sent out slips to people, not in districts, but in their department. As far as, you know, preparing for that. So I don't know what's going to happen and where they'll go, but we have put together three scenarios, Karen and I have, for the board to consider tonight. We've put together a scenario for a 5% reduction, 2.5%, and then flat funding. And we're feeling, you know, pretty darn confident about all of those, actually. Even, I mean, the 5% is still a substantial hit to us, but we feel like we're going to be able to reduce in areas that will be least impactful to kids and will not really dig into our reserves. We really want to hold that reserve as much as possible. I think the board has really tried to hold firm on that too, that, you know, because again, every year this is keeps happening, keeps coming up, and we're in good shape because we've not gone crazy. You know, if we've had staffing things, we've looked at them really carefully. We've not added a lot of staff. You know, again, we've had a person retire, but we're really maxed on student numbers without adding. We really feel like we're still actually are short-staffed by 1 to 2 people in our district, to be honest. We'd love to do that, but it doesn't make a lot of sense either if you try adding people in and then turn around, you know, in a year or two and have to make drastic cuts there. So we're feeling pretty confident, actually.
Yeah. So we'll hear about a couple different scenarios then tonight. And all right, that sounds good. And there are some staffing changes, I guess. I was looking at the student handbook, and I noticed that's also on the agenda, just kind of going over some possible changes to the student handbook. And I noticed some changes in language regarding absences and homework, at least in the Stedman Elementary School. Is that kind of an annual thing where you update language in the student handbook?
We do ask administrators to look at those in the spring if there's been things over the year that they would like to adjust or firm up a little bit. And one of them is to tighten up and actually make consistent the language across the district regarding attendance, for example, or, you know, procedures. A lot of these are things that are actually in practice, but some of them haven't necessarily been explained clearly in handbooks. So we did that. We also did pull the language together in the elementary school to make it more in line with the middle and high school as far as numbers of days and when we communicate with families. To be honest, I wrote those guidelines 12 years ago. I mean, I wrote them personally, as the principal. There really aren't state guidelines about numbers of days, that sort of thing, especially at the elementary level, but sometimes it's just important to really communicate with families about how things are looking, because sometimes people just don't think about it. You know, when kids get sick, people have to do things, you know, and all that, but sometimes it's just a matter of really doing more communication, kind of like the idea that we did this year with the food service communication, just trying to make people more aware and just be more proactive and, you know, encouraging people about when to take vacations. You know, we do have lots of breaks during the year. If people, you know, we understand there's cost associated, but just trying to look at that as a district and be more consistent and communicate. So, yeah.
And then have the grade school's language match the middle and high school, like
mm-hmm.
you said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's helpful for people.
All right. Also on the agenda for tonight are some surveys. It looks like more than one, actually. But one, there's going to be a presentation on one from the AASB regarding... Mm-hmm. Looks like a whole bunch of students were surveyed, and then some staff too, and then the topics that they were, the questions that they were asked kind of ranged broadly.
They are
just
broad.
Kind of on their feelings about, like if it was students, they were asked about how they feel about other students and the interactions with the adults at the school, and then staff was asked about administration and just support in general.
Mm-hmm. The idea of that, I think this has been about, I think we started doing this, the first surveys in like 2012, that seems right to me, over the years. And it actually started with, it's the School Board Association that, you know, that sponsors it. And yeah, I think, I want to say 2012 is the first year that we did that. And it was 5th through 12th grade. Now it does go down to 3rd grade. And it does focus mostly on... issues related to connecting with, yeah, like you said, with students or social emotional learning, that there's a lot of research out there about all of those pieces, that it's not, you know, just about the academic components in schools, but there's a lot of factors that come in with kids and families and how they connect with people, the relationship part of it, and that goes for staff too, and how they connect with students and with parents and with staff and with other administrators. So there's some interesting, it's always interesting to have the feedback to look at, you know, how the kids perceive things and how the adults do.
I noticed it was kind of interesting.
They're especially kind of fun to, I
they
mean,
are.
Fun, but fascinating to see what perception mm-hmm. versus maybe, you know, mm-hmm. there's always a different, sometimes a difference in what reality is perception, but how do you change that perception if you don't know what people are viewing?
So is
that seeing the world.
Is mm-hmm. it an annual, is it every year that the survey is given? And so you get annual feedback.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so that's what Jenny Leffing does when she comes, and she's done workshops with staff before. She's come and done them with the board. And I think we wanted to have her actually do a little bit more of a presentation on the radio, you know, have it be part of the actual board meeting for the public, because she does provide that perspective of how it looks over time. And maybe some of the things that have changed, some for the better, some have decreased. And so, like Sarah said, you know, all the information is helpful for us. Even if it's something that's declined, that's just as important as things that look better, because that means something needs to be adjusted, you know, or looked at.
So you can compare the school district year to year.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also state averages, too, that mm-hmm. she has to mm-hmm. compare Petersburg School District to other schools
yeah,
in the state.
Exactly. And then this one is also good because it does correlate with the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, which is one that is put out by the state. And that's more of that's a larger survey that's actually has more of a national reference. It's done every other year. And it's a more substantial survey, but it provides a good correlation. You know, you're able to look and compare and see. There's some interesting questions in that survey as well. Lots of things about even eating habits and all kinds of things that you're like, really? How many carrots do you eat? But it's a question. They've found a lot of correlation about things, you know, just in connection with even how kids connect with their school or with their families that way too. So healthy habits.
Yeah.
On those lines.
Yeah, almost 300 students were surveyed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a
lot of information. Mm-hmm. It's yeah, it's interesting. I was looking at, I think cultural connectedness is one that is an area that I feel clearly does need to be looked at. That was one that came out really from students and actually from staff. So I think that was important. I thought the peer climate numbers were interesting for students. They were pretty low, and then higher for staff. So that was interesting. I mean, perceptions of how that really looks or what kids think about their own culture, you know, in the school.
Yeah,
so.
I noticed the difference between what the kids were perceiving for their own behavior versus others.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a high rate of, I feel like I'm being fair to others and I'm, you know, that kind of thing was way up there. But then
right.
what they're observing
yeah.
among others is mm-hmm. lower.
Exactly.
So it'll be interesting to hear her explain Yeah. You know, how that.
And that is how this survey works, as opposed to the Youth Risk Behavior Survey. The School Climate Connectedness Survey is set up that way. It's meant to be, it's actually designed that way so that kids, because sometimes kids, they've found that sometimes kids are more honest in that sense of, or they feel less maybe threatened or concerned or whatever you want to call it, about, you know, making, oh, I'm saying this about me, but I'm saying what I perceive, you know, around me. So it can change, it can change the numbers, I think, that way too.
And the cultural connectedness portion that you mentioned that you feel like might need to be mm-hmm. addressed, that's how talking about culture identity
mm-hmm.
and
yep.
the way people
yep. And that
perceive.
Could be all different kinds of culture. You know, that could be, it could be native culture. It could be, I mean, there could be the cultural part of that. Could be language connection. Yeah, it's a pretty broad, you know, pretty broad component. So I think it's important. I think it's something that we need to look at. So I think we will.
And then there's another survey that has to do with parents and community. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
That you're going to be talking about. Is that another annual survey?
That is an annual survey. We didn't have a ton of responses to that one, but so it always makes it a little bit skewed, but it's fine. I mean, anything that you put out gives us feedback. So, you know, and there's similar sorts of questions. You know, how do people feel when they come into schools? Again, talking about a culture of a school, how do they interact? How do they feel communication is? Do they feel like they have access to teachers? Do they have access to information? Do they feel like they have feedback? You know, that kind of thing. So, and overall, the results are pretty positive. And then there's some really good suggestions, too, which is always helpful. We always end up with a few things in there that are like, oh, yeah, that would be really good, you know, that we can use, that are helpful. So I don't know.
I think the frustrating, when I was reading through that one, was just mostly the lack of responses. I think there were 19.
There's 34 total.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I guess I saw 19 at one point when I was trying to read it, but... Mm-hmm. I need to get it on a bigger screen, but I thought if we had only 34 out of a, you know, and I understand, you know, with a population of over 400 kids, you're going to have some parents with multiple kids in different mm-hmm. grades, but it was just kind of frustrating to see how low that return was. So you are getting, you know, just a tiny snapshot of what parents' perceptions and feelings are. It would be great if more parents were willing to sit down and do that survey. It's not very long. Really isn't. Doesn't take much time, but it does provide feedback to us as well as the administrators, just to see what, mm-hmm. like you said, even ideas or just perceptions mm-hmm. or, okay, how do we make this better? Or, okay, now, you know, maybe we don't need to be doing XYZ anymore or whatever.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think that's helpful. You know, even if it's things that are going well, that's always nice to hear too. But if it's things that people would like to see different or maybe have concerns about, it's helpful, you know, for us. So we can do a better job supporting our kids.
Also on the agenda to be discussed tonight is about a new bus, an activities bus, mm-hmm. which I'm assuming is different than the big yellow buses, regular yellow school bus. but there's an older van that the maintenance instructor wants to replace with a newer activity van, mm-hmm. or activity bus, sorry.
The Chevy van, the 2002 Chevy van that we use for activities and small field trips for classes, it is no longer really useful for transporting kids. And we work with the borough. They help us with maintenance. And they said, you know, there's some things underneath and that sort of thing that are just, you know, how much more money do you put into it to get it where it needs to be? And as opposed to really hauling kids in it. So we stopped hauling kids in it this spring. We use it for gear. You can haul, you know, suitcases and bags and stuff like that. But we're not putting kids in it right now. And so we have a vehicle replacement fund that's set up for this and has been set aside for years. So we did replace another van 3 years ago. I'm trying to think when the last one was.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
that sounds right.
Yeah,
in the spring time
mm-hmm.
too.
Yeah, so it's just time to do it. And so we did quite a bit of research on these two because we need an ADA accessible one. You also have to look at how many kids you can transport before you need a CDL. We don't want to have people that have to have a CDL, so you can have up to 14 kids. But once you get beyond that, then you know you run into some issues with that. So, and then looking at the ADA accessibility, the cost, and warranties, and all of that. So we feel good about the company, and Sarah was involved in that, and mm-hmm. we had some more questions, and they answered them for us, so we're feeling good. And it's new, which is great, and safe, which is even more important.
I don't have any other questions about the agenda for tonight. Is there anything that you wanted to let the public know that's going to be covered?
You know, we probably could say out loud about the borough, the filing dates for positions on the board, gang.
Mara, you're sitting over there being a little quiet.
Mara's on now.
So are you talking about the school board seats?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There will be two school board seats that will be up for election, and they're both 3-year terms. So Brandy Marole was fulfilling a 1-year term.
Actually, hers is 2.
Hers will be 2.
Mm-hmm.
So you can only be appointed for 1 year, and then you need to go onto the ballot. So we're hoping that Brandy, of course, will decide to go back to the election.
Yeah, put her name in there.
But that is a possibility. If there's people that are interested that want to sign up, there will be her seat, which will be a 2-year seat. And then Sarah Holmgren's seat will come up for, will be open this fall as well. So she's reaching the end of her term, and if she doesn't choose to run again, there will be a space available. Well, there'll be a space available anyway. You could run against Sarah if you wanted to run against Sarah, and her seat is for 3 years as well. So.
Yeah, and the dates for that are actually in the summer, which is always a little bit weird, so that's why I think I wanted to say it, because it opens July 25th and then closes on August 22nd, so people interested in filing...
They need to pay attention in the summertime,
mm-hmm.
that there's a deadline. Mm-hmm.
And that's for all candidacies. But
and then it's for the municipal election in the
mm-hmm.
fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, 2 seats.
2 seats.
On the school board. And they can get more information at the district office,
mm-hmm.
I'm assuming.
Yep, they can. And I think that's it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me. I'll see you tonight.
No,
we'll
thank
be
you.
Thank you.
Broadcasting the meeting live starting at 7 o'clock from the high school library. It's open to the public, but if you can't make it there, then you can always tune into Cape Escape.
Absolutely.
Ross Danick III is here to host Street Beat this afternoon. Hi, Ross.
Hello.
He'll be on in just a moment.